Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. It's now been a couple of weeks since the NATO summit in Vilnius, where Turkey's Erdogan was praised by other leaders, including President Biden, for lifting his objections to Sweden's NATO membership bid. Once again, F-16 sales to Turkey were a top of the agenda item ahead of Vilnius. Since the summit, while there have been countless headlines declaring quote-unquote deals and discussing details of alleged deals, Sweden is still not a member of NATO and the administration has not secured the clearance of congressional holds for an F-16 sale to Turkey. Andy Zemanidis, HALC's executive director, joins me to review what we know post-Vilnius and to cut through all the noisy diplomacy. Andy, great to have you back on with us.
Great to be back, Thanos.
Andy, looking back at the NATO summit, was Erdogan the big winner at Vilnius, or is he just a master at noisy diplomacy?
Erdogan is not a winner. In fact, I'm not sure there are too many winners here. If we know what the purpose of this whole negotiation was, is to get Sweden in. 2 weeks later, Sweden is still not into NATO. Erdogan has not gotten anything further than an indication that F-16s could be a reality with more conditions. Erdogan successfully put EU negotiations, purportedly for EU accession, which we all know is not his real objective. His real objective is an enhanced customs union or something that gives him a lot of the rights of EU membership, but none of the obligations. But once again, he got that on the table, but it's not moving forward, and it's not going to move forward without him making some concessions when it comes to Greece and Cyprus specifically, because in the EU process, they both have vetoes. So the noisy diplomacy seems to be the best way to describe what happened in and around Vilnius. There were a lot of headlines. There was declarations of deals. There were people speaking, and in fact, Secretary Blinken even making comments in front of the EU foreign ministers how much they support Turkey's EU aspirations, but nothing specifically moved forward.
F-16 sales, Andy, were also a top of the agenda item ahead of the NATO summit in Vilnius, and were under the spotlight in Washington this week as well, as Senators Menendez and Van Hollen raised the issue during a Senate hearing. Is Congress getting through to the administration here?
Clearly, the hearing that you're talking about, it was a nomination hearing, and one of the nominees will be the new Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Eurasian Affairs, Jim O'Brien. And in his answers to Senators Menendez and Van Hollen, he said, "Your clarity, or Congress's clarity, has been helpful in our discussions with Turkey."
So how do we read between the lines on that answer, Andy?
Well, that's a clear admission that the administration is going to take Congress's concerns into account. Also, even before this hearing, and again, in and around Vilnius, we had, as I pointed out in my article, consecutive readouts between Biden and Erdogan, Biden and Mitsotakis, Sullivan and his counterpart in Turkey, Borrell and Fidan. You saw the term stability in the Aegean come up over and over again, which we had not seen before. And we had clear, and again, these were White House readouts and White House press releases that described stability in the Aegean as a U.S. interest. That all comes from Congress. So I think the administration came to this issue a little late, got serious about making it clear to Turkey that there had to be progress on this issue before they could move. But it's there. It's there now, and it's going to be there from here on out. So clearly, the expansion of NATO is one of the issues for NATO unity. And now, perhaps on the same level, is stability in the Aegean.
Andy, as you wrote in your piece, while the State Department has worked overtime to communicate to both Congress and Greek Americans that it cares about the Aegean, there are officials inexplicably holding up Greece's F-35 deal despite congressional sign-off, and that seem to be ignoring Turkey's intransigence on the Cyprus issue. Are we seeing Washington send mixed signals here?
It may be a little less than mixed signals and more they don't know how to handle Turkey. They don't want to get tough with Turkey. I would tend to believe more of the latter. Of course, the F-35s to Greece are going to happen. It's a matter of when. There is a camp within the State Department and probably elsewhere that says, you know, let's wait to officially announce that until we can also officially announce the F-16 to Turkey so Turkey can't use it as an excuse to further hold up Sweden. Now, I do have to note that since the State Department officials have appeared before Congress saying there is no link, there may have been some perjuring of the State Department before congressional committees. Where the mixed signaling comes into it is that the State Department may be refraining from showing Turkey there is an or else. They should go for it, make the F-35 official, because then that makes Turkey, that will increase the incentive for Turkey to come to a quicker resolution. This red herring of Turkey will buy Russian planes instead, that's nonsense, because once Turkey buys more Russian weaponry, they won't be included in NATO air exercises any longer. In fact, they'll be subject to additional CATSA sanctions. The more likely scenario is that Turkey would buy British Typhoons, and England, as we know in the United Kingdom, when it comes to Greece and Cyprus, has a history of almost unique treachery. So they certainly will not hold Turkey's feet to the fire for instability in the Eastern Mediterranean. But Turkey's problem on that front is that Typhoons are more than twice as expensive as new F-16s, and certainly a lot more expensive than upgraded F-16s. So the qualitative military advantage that Greece will go towards the end of this decade with will turn into a temporary quantitative military advantage. On Cyprus, ignoring Turkey's intransigence on Cyprus is really a soft goal by this administration. Secretary Blinken going on July 20th before the European foreign ministers, including the foreign minister of Cyprus, and talking about Turkey's EU aspirations without addressing Cyprus, that was really bad staffing. Really, really bad staffing. Because if you want to push forward anything between the EU and Turkey, you have to realize that Nicosia and Athens hold vetoes. And if you are not going to give credence to the legitimate security and political and diplomatic concerns of the Republic of Cyprus, you're going to force them to use a veto. So I think the State Department has to huddle up and reconsider its approach here, because they're not doing this right.
Ultimately, Andy, the goal of the whole policy debate over F-16s to Turkey wasn't ever about punishing Ankara, but about forcing a change of policy. So given everything we discussed and what we've been seeing, is policy in fact changing?
Yes. I mean, I'll review kind of some of the answers to different questions that we've already asked, but we heard the nominee first Assistant Secretary Jim O'Brien acknowledge that Congress's concerns are top of the mind for the State Department. We've seen stability in the Aegean be openly declared as an American priority. And we've seen that nobody's going to ramrod Congress. And besides Senator Menendez's concerns, we've seen all four members, all four chairs and ranking members of the respective foreign affairs committees have additional requirements of Turkey. It's not only, there is not going to be a straight F-16 for Sweden trade. That's what Turkey wanted. That's what some people in the administration wanted. That's what some commentators were satisfied with. Clearly, that's not going to be the entirety of the trade. So policy is changing. The Aegean is elevated. Greece's qualitative military advantage is elevated. Policy is changing.
Andy, always great chatting with you. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Tano.
In other news, Cyprus President Nikos Christodoulidis and Ersin Tatar, the leader of the Turkish Cypriot community, jointly appealed for information that could lead to the buried remains of people who vanished amid violence and war decades ago, a task with increasing urgency as eyewitnesses die. Both Christodoulidis and Tatar toured the Committee on Missing Persons that has, since 2006, been tasked with locating, unearthing, and identifying the remains of individuals who vanished during clashes in the early 1960s and the 1974 invasion by Turkey. Christodoulidis said that progress here would also send a clear political message about building trust between the two sides, which have not engaged in direct talks in 6 years. Finally, wildfires in Greece abated on Friday after burning for nearly 2 weeks, but emergency services worked to prevent new flare-ups in the central part of the country, where people had fled massive explosions at an ammunition depot the day before. The blazes, fanned by rising temperatures and strong winds, have killed 5 people, destroyed homes, farms, and factories, and scorched swaths of forest land since July 17th. On the island of Rhodes, where more than 20,000 tourists and locals fled seaside hotels and houses over the weekend, wildfires have died down after scorching about 10% of the island's acreage. But teams operated at several sites for an 11th day in an effort to fully tame all the fronts. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.